This once was a village where Martian people lived. They built their homes here and grew crops nearby. A stream flowed past their village. They raised families and went about their daily lives here in this place. Dex nodded to himself. Good. He's being very positive, very firm about it. No maybes or probablys. Good. The priest took his hand from behind his back and opened it. The camera view closed in on the object he held in his palm. This is a fossil. It once was part of a Martian's backbone. Once, some 65 million years ago, this was part of a living, breathing, intelligent Martian creature. Terrific, thought Dex. What happened to these people? DiNardo asked rhetorically. They were wiped out in a cataclysm that destroyed nearly all life on Mars, some 65 million years ago, long before human beings arose on Earth. At the same time, a similar cataclysm struck the Earth and destroyed many, many living creatures, including the mighty dinosaurs. Giant meteors struck both worlds, bringing death and devastation.
We'll need to splice in some computer animation, Dex said to himself. Show the village as it was before the meteors struck. Show what the Martians probably looked like.
The camera view had pulled back to show DiNardo's face again. On Earth, more than half of all the creatures on land and sea perished, driven to extinction. On Mars, the people who built this village and every other form of life more complex than lowly lichens was wiped out.
Okay, Dex urged silently. Now get to the point.
I am a priest of the Roman Catholic Church, DiNardo said, as if in answer. I am here on Mars to learn more about God's creatures. To me, searching the universe to understand the works of God is a form of worship. The 24th Psalm begins with, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." To the men who wrote the Bible, the earth was the only world they knew. To you and me, the universe is much larger, much grander, and God's immense creativity inspires us to seek out His handiwork wherever we may find it.
Terrific! Dex shouted as the screen went blank. Just what we need. He thought about calling the priest. Checked the computer's display of the local time at the Thonium base. 5:15 in the afternoon there. Good enough. But as he started to instruct the voice recognition phone system to put through a call to the base on Mars, it interrupted him.
Incoming call, sir, the phone announced with the carefully modulated voice of a polished British butler. From Dr. Waterman.
Put him on, Dex said, leaning back in his stress-free recliner and reaching for the half-finished scotch with one hand. Jamie's face looked awful. Dex immediately knew that something was terribly wrong.
Dex, Monsignor DiNardo has died. He had a stroke. He was outside on an excursion with me and one of the biologists, and he just sort of keeled over and died. There was nothing we could do for him.
Dex felt a sudden surge of hot anger.
Dead? The priest's dead? How the hell are we going to use his footage if Mars killed him? Of all the stupid, goddamned, fucked-up asshole things to do, the dumb bastard dies on us.
We found a bottle of pills on him, Jamie was going on, and more pills in his personal effects. Heart medication of some sort, Vijay thinks. We're checking into it. Whatever his condition was, he kept it secret from us. He got through the physical exams without letting us know about it. We wouldn't have let him come to Mars if we'd known, of course.
Great, Dex smoldered. Just motherfucking great.
Once the news media finds out that we let a sick priest go to Mars and he died there, we're toast. The whole fucking program will be just as dead as that idiot priest.
Tithonium Base. Funeral rites.
I've made arrangements with the Vatican, Jamie was saying softly. They'll beam a funeral mass to us.
The Pope himself will say it.
Chang asked, when?
Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Rome time.
8 in the morning here, said Nari Quintana. Despite the fact that the Martian Sol is slightly more than 41 minutes longer than a day on Earth, Tithonium Base and all space operations kept to Zulu time, the standard clock setting for Greenwich, England. The extra minutes were added each night, while most of the base personnel slept. It gave everyone nearly three-quarters of an hour more for sleep. Immediately upon returning to the base, Jamie had asked Chang to call Quintana and the team's contamination expert for a meeting to decide what to do with DiNardo's body. Now they sat glumly in Chang's office, in the sofa and chairs around the low serving table. Jamie had been surprised to realize that Hasrabal was the top contamination expert. "I'm the man," the black biologist had admitted with a rueful smile. "Ustinov beat it back to Russia on the resupply flight last month." "We have to decide," Jamie said, looking from Hasrabal to Chang, "what to do with the body." "Catholics prefer burial," said Quintana, unconsciously fingering the silver crucifix she wore around her neck. "No way," Hasrabal snapped. "We can't let his body decompose in the ground out there. I've got enough of a contamination problem with that garden Torok left." Jamie felt surprised. "The garden's contaminated?" "Other way around," said Hasrabal. "I gotta make sure no terrestrial organisms get loose in the local environment." Chang said, "I agree that we must not bury Dr. DiNardo outside." "There are no scavenger microbes in the Martian soil," Quintana said. "You know that for a fact?" Hasrabal challenged. Quintana's expression hardened. "None in the shallow layer in which we would bury the man. Besides, we could seal him into an empty cargo container." Hasrabal shook his head stubbornly. "Look, we gotta think about the long term here, centuries. That body already contains armies of microbes that'll decompose him. Those microorganisms will eventually worm their way out of whatever container you put him in." Jamie almost grimaced at the word worm. Quintana glared at the biologist. "Do you honestly believe the terrestrial microbes could survive in the superoxides that pervade the ground out there? Without water? Without oxygen? We can't take the chance. Hell, bacteria have survived for years out on the moon's surface without water or air." "I know that, but..." Jamie broke into their growing argument. "The Vatican has asked that the body be shipped to Rome." Chang looked relieved. "Of course. He must have a family. Or the Jesuits want him." "There is a resupply flight due in 2 months," Chang said. "He can be sent home then." The last resupply flight for a long time, Jamie knew. Most of the base personnel will have to go home on that one. All except 15 of us, unless I can come up with some alternative. "We can't keep the body here for 2 months," Quintana said. "We have no means of embalming him." "He'll rot away," Hasrabal grumbled. "That will be a health hazard inside the dome," Quintana pointed out, tapping a finger on the cushioned arm of the sofa. "We'll have to place him outside." "Can't do that," Hasrabal countered. "It's a contamination risk." "Better to risk contamination than endanger the health of everyone here." "No," Hasrabal insisted. "We have to protect the local environment. We can't spread terrestrial microbes out there." "And I will not permit his body to be kept here," Quintana declared, equally inflexible. Chang scowled at them both. "The only alternative, then, is to burn the body." "The Vatican will love that," said Hasrabal. "Besides, burning might not kill off all the microorganisms in his body. If even only a few survive, we'll have problems." "You're being foolish," Quintana said to the biologist. "I'm doing my job, lady." Jamie suddenly grinned, understanding what they must do. "Wait," he said, raising his hands to calm them. "There's another alternative." Chang turned toward him questioningly. "Put the body in orbit until the resupply ship from Earth arrives," Jamie said. "In orbit?" Quintana looked doubtful. "Place him in a cargo container and fly him into orbit in an LAV. Leave the container in space. The cold will preserve the body, won't it?" A slow smile crept across Hasrabal's face. "Like dunking him in a vat of liquid nitrogen. Better, even." "Cryonic preservation," Quintana murmured. Chang nodded. "Thank you, Dr. Waterman. We should have seen that possibility earlier." Jamie grinned at the mission director. Forests and trees, Dr. Chang. Forests and trees.